2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 3 to 9. And today's mission, if you so choose to accept it, is the journey, this idea of a godly life. And what does that look like? How would we actually live that out? Peter's got some very interesting words for us in this letter that he's written to the first century Christians. They were in the midst of a challenging time. It wasn't easy to be a Christian or a Christ follower, if you like, back in that day. And he's got some very interesting words for us here. How to live the godly life. He's making some assertions, and we would do well to pay close attention to what he has to say here. Let's look at verse 3. It says here, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It starts right off there with just a fascinating phrase, his divine power. This is talking about God. And God is offering us something here. God is enabling, if you like, or empowering, wants to supply us everything we need for a godly life. That is a large, large statement. Everything we need to live this godly life. This divine power, the divine power that spoke the world into existence. The divine power that raised Lazarus, the young lady who had died, that raised Jesus from the grave, the same divine power that fed thousands, this divine power has been given to you and to me to live this godly life, to live a godly life. Have you thought about it in those terms before? I think sometimes when we hear divine power, we think about the miracles. And yet God is saying, no, actually, this is for you as well. This is for your daily life, your following of me. I think what we can infer that Jesus would be inferring, that Peter and Paul and the first century Christ followers would be able to back up, and they would say, you know what, this is not easy. It can be a little tricky at times. It can be hard. It can be challenging. There's opposition from without, but there's also sort of some internal opposition to this thing called the godly life. Now, I don't know if it struck you as I was reading verse 3 there, but he says this divine power is giving you everything you need for a godly life. And then he says this, through our knowledge of him, through our knowledge of him. Now, this is a personal invitation. Now, this is going to be one of those duh comments or duh moments in the sermon. There might be a few of them when I'm speaking. There's maybe a lot of them. But here it is. I can't have a relationship with someone who doesn't want it. Does that make sense? I mean, for any of you who have parented, you recognize this. There's been times with your kids, you've been trying to have a relationship and they're just giving you that blank stare. Not interested. But that is such an important thing for us to recognize and to consider when it comes to our relationship with God. You see, out of God's glory and goodness, out of his desire, he calls us and wants us to be in a relationship with him. He wants to know him. He wants us to experience him. You move on to verse 4, and he carries it on, and he says, it's out of his glory and goodness. Verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. There's that divine thing again. That we might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Paul is continuing to try to offer some insight and some thoughts around how we could have this relationship, how we could have this godly life. And he says that it's through his great and precious promises that we can discover who God is and what his desire is and what he is offering us for this relationship. How we can experience and participate, such a fascinating word, in the divine nature. To participate with the divine. To do life together with God. With God. Participate together. So please, we need to hear this. God desires a relationship. Remember, I had that duh moment a few minutes ago where I said, listen, I can't have a relationship with someone who doesn't want it. Well, neither can God. God wants it. God wants to have a relationship with you, and he is offering you his divine power. He's offering you his promises. He's offering you his life in order to woo us, to draw us, to call us into that relationship. Now, the thing that's interesting to notice is when we see these words and we read those verses, we need to be reminded this is a very present time, real time, like right now, expression. This isn't a historical sort of thing he's talking about. No, right now, we are being called into an actual live relationship with him. One of the factors that separates, if you like, Christianity from some of the other religions is the very presence of God in our lives and in the world around us. He didn't just separate himself. He came down and he lived in and amongst the worlds that we're living in. It's not just a point in history. It's not that we visit a gravesite. We can go for a trip to the Holy Land, but you know what? The reality is he's not there. He's risen, he's alive, and he's available to each and every one of us that we might be able to participate, have relationship with the divine God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Do you know him? Do you have a desire to know him? This book, the Bible, tells us the story of this God. It's not fiction. It's true. This Bible, in it, reminds us that it actually comes alive. When we read it, life can come through this story because the God who it's being spoken of and is pointing us towards, is alive and is very much present with us. It is history, but it's not just history. And he wants to engage with us. And as Peter said in there, we can discover as we understand this story and we learn more about God, the very great, precious promises that he said. And it's through these promises that we begin to understand who this God is and how he makes himself available to us and the things that he makes available to us within a relational context. See, this God has come and he wants to offer us life. He's come and he wants to offer us new purpose. He's come and he wants to offer us his presence. It says in there that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is with us to the very end of the age. It says that he wants to come and he wants to heal us. This is both a physical thing, but also some emotional things where there's been pain. And God wants to come and he wants to bring restoration and healing to your inner being. He wants to come and he wants to offer us hope. Not just a hope for the future, but a hope for today. He comes and he offers us forgiveness. He comes and he wants to offer us a joy that defies our human experience. That transcends maybe what we're experiencing. That's one of the most profound and confusing things sometimes for me as I look around the world and I see what some are going through, some Christ followers are going through, some of the actual persecution that they are facing for following Jesus, and yet they're so willing to stand up and go, I love him every bit as much as I did before this persecution. He is amazing. And you see this joy and contentment in their life that is amazing. That is given to us. That is an experience we can have as we participate, engage with, in relationship with the divine, with God through his power. He offers us his peace. He offers us this thing called no condemnation. That's kind of a weird way to say it, but man, that's a powerful thing. We are no longer condemned. He forgives. He restores. He calls us his family. He adopts us. The Holy Spirit resides with us to guide, to teach, to counsel. Have you discovered these, some of these great and precious promises? Because these are the things that our God, the divine, is offering us in order that we might have that relationship. Have you discovered them personally? As I said earlier, I can't force a relationship with somebody else. And you can't have the kind of relationship that God wants with you through somebody else. God wants to have a relationship with you. Have you discovered these things? Are you on a journey with him? Are you personally following him for yourself as an individual moving towards him? We are together a family, and I'm not saying that that's not important. That is incredibly important that we live within a family context, within some community together. But God truly is calling you into that relationship. Are you moving towards that? Take this book, read it, discover for yourself, let God reveal himself to you through these stories. Discover Jesus, hear his call, hear his promise, hear his truth. Discover God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He's not just sitting in the stands and sort of watching a game and watching, you know, he's aware of what's going on. No, he actually is very personally interested and invested in a relationship with you, in a relationship with me. Are you invested? Now listen, it's a challenge. I get it. It's why at the beginning Peter reminds us his divine power, like this power that spoke the world into existence and these miracles that we read about. It's that kind of power that he's offering us as we enter into relationship with him. So clearly it's not easy. There is challenge. There is a thief that says in scripture that has come and wants to steal this life away from us. The wording is he wants to come steal, kill, and destroy. And in that same set of verses in John chapter 10, Jesus said, actually, I've come that you might have life. So Peter comes along to verse 5, and he says this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. But let's just stop there. I went a little far. I confused the PowerPoint person. Verse 5, the first half. For this very reason, make every effort. Make every effort. And if you're like me, sometimes this causes me to throw the brakes on and go, what's going on? I thought relationship with God was all about grace and mercy, and it was all about what he's done and all of that. Listen, that is absolutely true. But the question for us is still relevant. Are you interested in a relationship with Him. He's done all that we need. He has made a way for that relationship to happen, but we do have to step into it. And the question I discovered myself asking, I should say myself, as I was going through this text was, yeah, Jesus was interested and invested. Am I interested and invested? Am I making every effort to step into that? My calendaring. When I look at my calendar, when I look at my schedule, what are the things that would stick out as priorities in my life? What would it communicate that the priorities would be? What would my typical week, when I look at it, what would it say about my effort, and what would it be directed at? And Jesus, by the way, just to be clear, He's not calling us to all just all of a sudden shut up our shops and our workplaces and all that, and move to the hills somewhere and live in some monastery or something like that. That's not what He's talking about. But how, when you go through your day, what kind of effort are you making in order to pursue Him in the midst of all of that? What does that look like? What is the significant area, pursuit? What is the effort pointing towards? Now, it's interesting. So Peter goes, okay, so God's given us His divine power. He's given us these great and precious promises. He's revealed Himself to us, and he's calling us into this relationship. And so then in verse 5, I'm going to read the whole thing now. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. I really like that. See, these are qualities of God. And we saw them in Jesus. We're reminded that the whole deity, the whole divine divinity, if you like, of God is revealed through Jesus. And so we see these qualities. And Peter's saying, we need to grow in these things. And what that means is we're going to be growing and becoming more and more like Jesus. And letting these things become you. And I thought it was interesting, and maybe it's just my mind, but at the beginning, he's talking about this divine power, right? And it's kind of like, feels like this massive thing. And then when he says to add something to your faith, he says, be good. I think God recognizes we could use some goodness in our world. I mean, it sounds sort of middle schoolish, sounds sort of preschoolish. Oh, just be good. No, adults, good, goodness. A world needs more good, godly people, generous people, charitable people, goodness. Add to your faith goodness. Add to your faith knowledge. Or do we care about the truth? Do we care about really understanding things? Or are we really quick to make a judgment? Versus being quick to listen and to really understand and to gain the truth of a situation, maybe, or what someone else is trying to bring to us. Self-control. Doing the right thing in spite of what everyone else is doing. Like, are you able to do that? Are you able to continue to do that over time? Like, you've made a statement on Monday, this week I am going to do this, I'm not going to do that. Do you have the self-control to do that on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, and then on Thursday? Perseverance, that the ability to stick with it. The ability to say no to the things that we know we shouldn't be a part of, that self-control, we need to add to that perseverance to be able to continue on with it. Interesting, he adds godliness to perseverance, and what struck me is, like, are we willing to live upright, sort of justice-seeking, self-sacrificing men and women. Mutual affection. Reciprocating kindness. Other-oriented. Mutual affection. That's an interesting one to ponder. And then he says, could you add love to that? And for me, in the last while, when I hear that word love, the thing that just jumps right to the front of my brain is love as in real deep enemy love. There's certainly more descriptors of love for sure, but it's easy to love someone who's nice to me. What about to those who aren't? Could these qualities be growing in you? Can you discover them? Do you recognize them in the life of Jesus? Do you know the story of Jesus to where you could see some of these qualities popping up in the midst of his story? I encourage you to pursue them. Now, what is intriguing to me is what comes here in verse 8. And he says, therefore, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sin. You know, when we're trying to install something, and it may not work, there's a little troubleshooting section in the manual. You know what a manual is, by the way? Yeah. There's that little section called troubleshooting. Usually today, most of the stuff is electronic, so the first thing you're supposed to do is just unplug it for 30 seconds and then plug it back in. Did you do that? You know. Paul gives us a little troubleshooting spot right here in this. If those qualities are not growing in your relationship with Jesus, likely you've forgotten that you've been cleansed, that you've been forgiven. Paul talked about this, this whole concept of forgiveness and the struggle that we can have sometimes with it, and he said, you know, worldly sorrow, like usually we feel bad for the things we've done. We do kind of recognize that we've done some things wrong. And he said, worldly sorrow actually leads to shame, to death. Whereas godly sorrow leads to repentance and freedom. And so, in our relationship with Jesus, one of the things that we need to recognize is that God is for you. He wants you to find life, and he offers us that. And where it really swings, it seems, where things pivot, is whether or not we have recognized the profound love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness of our God. And not just that he forgives us, but he restores us. I love that word, that cleansing. It's not just, oh, you're forgiven, go to the back of the bus. No, it's this idea that you're restored. And so what I'm going to do right now, before we carry on, is just give you a few minutes just to consider some areas in your life. Like, do you feel forgiven? Are you experiencing the cleansing, forgiveness of our God? So I'm just going to lead us through a few thoughts and some things to consider, because sometimes I think we are beyond God's forgiveness. Maybe you feel like you've let him down. And how could he truly forgive you. I mean, you've done it again. You've denied him. Please know he's forgiven you. He's cleansed you. Talk to him. Maybe you found yourself being selfish in your marriage, and it's just is so repeated. And it's just all about you, and you know it's not right. God gets that. Go to him. Maybe you found yourself not being as ethical in your business as you planned when you started out, and you've just let some things slide. God gets that. Go to him. Maybe you found yourself on your first, second, or fifth affair. God gets it. Go to him. Maybe you've made that promise to God at the beginning of a year, at the beginning of a month, beginning of a week, that you're going to do this and or not do this. And you made it to Tuesday, and then you failed. Go to him. See, every one of those little antidotes that I shared with you are stories that you discover as you follow Jesus. As you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you can find those stories in there, and you see how Jesus met those people and not only forgave, but restored and welcomed them in. Listen, we're not just forgiven and sort of forgotten. We're cleansed and restored. We're lifted up, and God calls us so desperately, desires to walk with us. He's so interested and invested. And my question to you and my question to myself today is, how about you? How about me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you offered us your life. That you came down and you very much lived and showed us how we could interact with the world around us. And then you were willing to take on our sin, our choosing to live in opposition to who you were. And you offer us a life that is compared to no other. And you continue to extend that offer to us today, that we might participate, that we might be able to experience you through your divine power, through your life. Thank you for it. God, we want to go with you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.